Recording in progress. So what else have you been reading? Is there like something, because we haven't talked comics in like a while, but
it has been a while.
On record, we haven't talked about comics in a while, but
true, on the mic.
Is there anything you've read recently that kind of like exceeds expectations for you?
Yes, I guess. There is. Yes, I just it's really, I like this premise a lot. It's written and drawn by Cliff Chang, who is the artist on Paper Girls, which is a cool series that's coming to Amazon at some point. Filmed in your neck of the woods, you know, some time ago.
Yeah, you know, spoiler alert, we got the hot take. JK, just the dude on Facebook said it.
Yeah, it's called Catwoman Lonely City. It's like kind of alternative universe DC, kind of its own little DC world. So it doesn't have any connection with what's going on in DC now. It's Catwoman out of jail after 10 years. She's 55. She's still trying to figure out if she's, you know, still got it or she's lost. The reason she's in jail is because she's framed for killing Batman. So Batman's dead. Robin's dead. The other Robin's dead. Red Knight. You know, Alfred's dead. All the Batman crews, they're all dead. This all happened from an event called the Fool's Night Massacre, where like a whole bunch of people got slaughtered beyond Batman, like normal civilians and stuff. We don't really know the story behind it too much. They kind of hint at it a little bit. Because of that, all masked heroes and villains are outlawed. So there's no more masked heroes or villains anymore. The new mayor of Gotham is this Two-Face, Harvey Dent. So he's like, there's like a video that went viral where obviously Harvey Dent's kind of a bad guy, but in this viral video, like you see him like rescuing, you know, the classic, a cat and a kid out of a burning building. Oh, what a good guy is. He says, you know, he's reformed, you know, he saw that night and it really changed his way. So now he's the mayor of Gotham. So we have that storyline. And then the main storyline is obviously Selina Kyle, like post prison, 10 years, trying to like rebuild her life. Done it because the world has changed now. Like, obviously, all, you know, costume heroes or villains being outlawed, she can't go back to her old life. Some of those people have done pretty well, like Penguin. Some of those people have done pretty bad, like Killer Croc. You know, he's down on his luck now that he can't, you know, go about his business anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, so it's like, it's an interesting kind of like more human story. And it's just an interesting premise where like, what would happen if like all of a sudden, like all the heroes that you knew in the world are like no more, and they can't like be masked, or they can't, you know, hide behind like an alias anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of how like that Heroes Reborn was it like one or Heroes in Crisis. What was that DC one where like. Superheroes go through like PTSD or some shit.
Yes, yes. Heroes in Crisis was that like heroes have like a house that they go to for like physical therapy, mental health, so on and so forth. When like, because obviously you read all these comics, they're battling all these crazy storylines and villains, and things are happening in their lives where like, you know, their best friends are being kidnapped and like their loved ones are being captured and all this other stuff. So yeah, there was a place in the middle of nowhere where like they could get like physical therapy when they get hurt during like those crazy action scenes, or they could get like mental health assistance when they're dealing with all the trauma of their life.
Yeah. And I think we talked about that last time too. It's just like the post superhero event thing. Like what happens after that is always like a really neat story when you have to make, you know, the superheroes like human, you know, and it's just like, and in this story, you're saying that like, say, hey, what happens if you have like no objective or like no motive to like do what you were normally doing back in the day? And it's like, okay, everyone's dead. Like, what do I do now?
Yeah, it's a little bit about that. Yeah, it's definitely that. I think they're hinting that Selina Kyle is trying to clear her name, that she didn't kill Batman or any other characters in Batman. That, like, she might have been framed for that. So there's like a little bit of like, that's a little bit of her motivation, a bit, but it's also just like, her motivation is just like after being in jail for 10 years is like reconnecting with society. Society is different. Like you said, there's no more heroes. Like police officers, it almost has that like Minority Reports, I feel, where like they have like scanners and they look at you and be like, oh, there was a 55% probability that, you know, a crime is being committed and stuff like that. And like everyone has to wear these like G-bands on their wrists. So kind of like they all have like identification. It's kind of like electronic. So it's like, it definitely has that like dystopian, like sci-fi technology kind of is good, bad, taking over the world feel to it too.
That Minority Report reference was really good. I'm like, wow, I totally get what you're talking about now. It's
crystal clear. Yeah.
Crystal clear. Jeez.
Yeah. So that one, that really surprised me because I picked it up just because I like the artwork of him, of Cliff Chang. He's really cool. Mm-hmm. And then like I'm reading this, I'm like, oh, this is different. This is really different. This is not what I was expecting. This is not, I guess, because classic Catwoman when she's on her own is kind of like a heist tale. She's a thief. She steals stuff. It's cool. She gets a crew sometimes and it's like, oh, she sold like, you know, gold from Fort Knox. You know, look how she got away. And this is like, oh, this is not about that at all. This is kind of like about like recommitting to society, a little bit about redemption, a little bit. Yeah. So it's like, oh, this is a, like we said earlier, like a human story. So
yeah. Just one more job, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't even that where I thought it could have been like that. So it really does. Yeah. It altered my expectation of what I thought it could be. So that one really, that's above normal comics to me.
Did you read the whole story or is it kind of ongoing?
That's just issue one.
Oh shit.
That's just nice. One issue. That's just one issue.
Yeah.
That's issue one, so it'll be ongoing for a bit.
Do you know how many are in that or?
I do not.
Nice. So the mystery is in the air.
Yes, it is. I do not know. So that one, yeah. That was cool.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, that's probably the best one. I could go talk about. How about you? I have some other ones in the mental chamber I could bring up. But
yeah, we can kind of.
How
just
about
like,
you? Yeah,
jump back and forth.
Yeah, how about you? Has there been a comic book run that really like exceeded your expectation beyond us like normal bad guy, good guy, beat him up type stuff, which is always fun.
The reason why I like comic books is for like that fantasy of, you know, what happens if the world's going to blow up. Yeah. Something's killing the kids or something's killing the children. That was way better than I thought. So the situation with that was like my old roommate, we trade comics from time to time and he gave me like a stack and I gave him a stack. And that was one of the ones in there. And like I looked at it and it was around like the transition time, like before I started getting really into, not really into, but like I was taking my step outside of like the Marvel box and like the superhero like shit. And I picked it up one day because I was like, I got time to in between stories. I'm like, not saying that the superhero shit was getting boring, but like I was like, let me just take like a quick break. Like I get it now. Like I totally get it now. And I was like, yeah, let me just. You know, let me pick this up because I read Crossover and that still kind of had like a little like hints of superhero. And I was like, let me hop over to this. And like I started reading it and it was way better than I thought it would be. And I'm on the second collection or the second book, second and third I picked up. And it seems like a very aggressive Stranger Things. And it's like there's monsters in the forest. Something's killing kids and nobody can see it. But kids are going missing. And so you have like, I forgot what it's called, but it's like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but like they're monster hunters. It's funny because they're based out of Chicago, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
So they're monster hunting, but they can't see it because like they, I don't know, it's not a chip, but like they have to get like attacked by one or like they have to like somehow, you know, have access to the monsters. So. The main character, the chick, she sacrifices like a regular kid to save another kid. So now they both see monsters and the story is kind of just playing out that way. And like how the town's like, you know, trying to keep everybody calm, but kids are dying, you know? And that was really good. I was very surprised with that just cause like, I didn't know what to expect and like something's killing the kids. Like it just seemed like, you know, maybe you start getting into like the fantasy of like, ghosts, monsters, and like there's just like this one like vampire or some shit that's killing kids or something along the lines of that kind of fantasy. But this was just like Way better. And like I said, it's got that Stranger Things feel because, like, you've got kids kind of trying to solve this mystery of what's going on. And, like, you have, like, the experts come in and then, like, the kids are working with the experts. And, like, it's just – and it's got good dialogue in it, too. And I really enjoy it. The one thing I have to admit that I'm not super thrilled about, but it's nothing, like, story-wise. It's just the way that the comic is laid out is the way that the panels are set up. You can easily – miss how the panel of the page is going. So like you could either it does like one full like two pager panel or it goes like half and then like to another one or some shit, and then like you kind of like I found myself reading like the left side first, but that was actually like the beginning, middle, and end, and I was like, fuck, I have to go back. And like there was no like clear way to be like, this is how you should kind of go about it, because sometimes like, you know, the panel will be like one big one in the middle, and you know to kind of go 1, 2, 3, 4, like horizontal instead of going vertical. So that's like, it's not like a nitpicky thing, but like that's the only thing that I find myself like, oh, I got to go back. Like I read this wrong. So it's my only thing about it. But story wise, so far so good. Like the way it's kind of going, it's like, I wonder how far you can go. Cause even looking at this, like, from the outside, kind of like the big picture, is like, yeah, you're going to find the monster. You're going to kill it. In theory, that's what's going to happen. What next? Like, you could only take that story so far. You know what I mean? Because, like, you're in Vermont. Okay, now there's a monster in fucking Florida. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you just change locations for the same story. So we'll see how that plays out.
I actually did read the first volume. I thought it was pretty cool. Did you know that there is a spin-off series called House of Slaughter? Is an original series set in the world of Something is Killing the Chosen, exploring the secret society of the order that forged Erica Slaughter into a monster hunter. Does that sound interesting to you?
Yeah, I would love to hear, because like this is like a mysterious group in the story. Is that supposed to be before this, or I'm assuming?
Yes, because it tells her. Yeah, because it tells the story of how the main monster hunter in the comic became, you know, who she is today.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
And a little bit more about the backstory.
Yeah, because like in the second one, like they just show up and like you briefly hear it, and like there's good mystery into that, but I guess knowing it beforehand would be cool. But the way they went about it, they weren't like telling you like all their secrets and stuff, so it's not too bad.
Gotcha.
What else? You got something else off the
dome? I do. This is complete collection. You could buy it right now at the, you know, your local bookstore, comic book shop. It's called Far Sector. It's a DC comic book, but it's based off of the Young Animals imprint, which is run by the dude from My Chemical Romance, Gerard Way. And it is Far Sector is a Green Lantern comic book. But isn't like the typical Green Lantern guy is like the first, I think it could be one of the first female Green Lanterns. And it is a story that once again, there could be a theme of why these stand out. It's once again, it tries to tackle real world issues in like the comic book world. And this one, it's about it's the character, the main character name is Joe. And she's trying to find her place in the world. So it's like, she first went to Princeton. She didn't fit in too well. Then she became a police officer and she didn't fit in too well over there. So she's trying to find her like where she could like fit in and like make the most of her efforts and her abilities on the job. When she was police officer, something horrible happened. Oh, first of all, she's black. So this is important something horrible happened. Cause it does touch on the policing and the Black Lives Matters movement. One day when she was on the job, her fellow police officer was arresting somebody, or the person was resisting arrest supposedly, and Joe kind of froze, and the guy beat up on this person, and Joe like had this moment to like do the right thing, you know, step in, say, hey, you stop this isn't right, but she froze. And she has a lot of drama about that, because like that was her opportunity to really, you know, make a difference. She just wanted to make a difference in her community, and she couldn't. So this So that leads her to go to a bar. When she, this one gets a little comic booky. She goes to a bar. She meets somebody. This person offers her a chance to be a Green Lantern. She says, you know, there's hope in you. Like, I know, like, you made the mistake, but you did the right thing. Like, you didn't stop him in the action, but you did file a report, and then you filed another report, and you went up all the way up to, like, the top supervisor to try to get this guy suspended and, like, kicked off the force. So you did do right afterwards, even though in the moment you didn't do the right thing. You know, there's still hope. You know, there's good in you. There's a chance to make a difference. We want to give you this, the Green Lantern ring. And we're going to ship you off to, like, the farthest section in the universe possible, you know, as a trial run. So that's kind of like the setup. In this alien planet where she is, there's a civil war amongst, like, three different alien races. Because of that civil war, all emotions are cut out of everybody. So nobody has any emotions whatsoever. There's no anger, and there's no sadness, there's no joy, there's no excitement, suspense, fear, whatever. Everyone has no emotions whatsoever. So she gets there, and she's been there for a little bit, and they have their first murder. The first murder that happened, like, in, like, 100,000 years on this planet. And they found out this murder is happening because there's this drug called Switch Off, which allows people to feel emotions.
Dang.
So then from there we kind of enter in, like, the murder mystery kind of detective stuff, like, who has Switch Off, what's the motivation, why is it happening, is it right for somebody to be born without the choice of not having emotions? Because, like, as soon as you're born, boom, it's over, you have to have all your emotions, you know, shut off. Is it right? Should people have the choice to have it? So there's that. When that's happening, people are starting to rise above and starting to protest, and, hey, you know, I want to have a choice. Like, I don't think emotions are always so bad. I want to have a choice. So there's that, like, kind of protest movement, and the protest, a riot starts to happen because one of the police on this alien planet, one of, like, the peace officers, they shoot into the crowd. So that starts a huge commotion. That kind of triggers back to that first event that I talked about with Joe, when Zeke had the opportunity to, you know, stop it in motion. So that's happening. Zeke, at that point, he does step up in the moment and says, no, this is wrong. You know, protests are fine. You have to listen to the people. So the leadership finally listens to the people. They put it to a vote. And now your people are now born with a choice of having their emotions cut off or not. And that's where the storyline ends, where, like, she finally made the progress that she always wanted to make when she was struggling to fit in, like, all these different situations. So that's how it kind of ends. And there's more to it than that. There's more, like, sideways and little side stories, but that's kind of the overall 12 issue run of Far Sector.
Damn, it's 12 issues? That's what, yep, I was about to ask. I was like, how many?
It's 12 issues, yeah. It's all complete.
Wow. Nice, dude. That sounds wild. It sounds like it touches on, like, a lot of, like, obviously, like, political stuff, but, like, what happens post that? And, yeah, that superhero thing is just funny. It's like, hey, I think you'll be good for this job.
Yeah. This even gets more wild because, like, the three alien races, like, one alien race is pretty much, like, a meme. They're like a digital version of a meme. Like, they're like Alexa, if Alexa was a person, more or less.
Oh, nice.
So that's, like, one human race. So there's another human race that, like, there's one, like, alien race that, like, they eat the other alien race, but because of Switch Off, they don't do it anymore.
It's so wild.
That was like the, yeah. So, like, that there's like crazy, like, inner, like, personal dynamics of all these, yeah, like, three alien, like, species or race, like, species trying to, like, coexist. And the reason they coexist now is because everyone has no emotion. So it's like, it gets into some wild stuff sometimes.
I wonder if that's just, like, some, like, undertones of, like, drug culture, I guess. I don't know.
It could be.
But, like, yeah, the fact that it's just, like, here's a drug for emotions is, like, it's a new take, I guess, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is there, like, more to this, or is this just, like...
I think that's it. That was a wrap. It's, like, I think it told the story.
And you said this is... the guy from My Chemical Romance's company or what?
Label, yes. He has a label under DC called Young Animal.
Hmm.
Where, like,
is that just supposed to be kind of
it's like more alternative comic book stories.
Gotcha.
Like stuff that is like not Superman, Batman, Flash, Green Lantern, like alternative stuff, like kind of like slightly alternative superhero stories.
Like the Umbrella Academy falls in there too.
Yeah, yeah, like yes, and Umbrella Academy would be, yeah, that's perfect. That's a perfect example. Like they're superheroes, but they're like weird and quirky and different, and they don't, you know, they're not out to save the universe. And like Superman isn't calling on me like, hey man, you know, crazy stuff is happening with Metropolis. We need you. They're like off the beaten path stuff.
Yeah, we need the talking monkey from Umbrella Academy over here. Yeah, that's cool, man. I like that.
Yeah, so it's out right now, so you could pick it up at any bookstore, Half Price Books, Barnes & Noble, anyone. Yeah, so it's out. It's a complete story. And those, nice. those two really, stand above the rest.
Nice, dude.
My one question for you as you're reading, as you're reading Venom and you're reading Guardians, how much does the MCU movies like influence you, like your understanding of the characters? Are you like, as you're reading Guardians, you're like, oh, that's Peter Quill. He's quippy. He's, you know, Chris Pratt, I think his name. So yeah, he's like, oh, and that's Gamora. That's like, oh, she's, the badass female character, yeah. You know, who doesn't take no gruff from nobody. Is it like, and like Rocket is like the wisecracking, you know, one liner guy. How much does that kind of like influence you as you're reading Guardians or just? You let the storyline kind of like influence you a little bit more.
I let the story do its own thing, but it helps me put the voices together. Mm. So when I'm reading like Peter Quill's stuff, like I think of like how Chris Pratt would say it or like kind of how he would sound and kind of help me go through it. But other than that, like I'm not thinking like, oh, this is where they need to fucking, you know, do this and this from like the movies. But the movies do a good job of making me want to read more shit. Because, like, right now, obviously, we're, like, in a really interesting phase of superhero stuff. We're, like, I don't know shit about the Eternals. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know who they are. Like, I would love to read that up on that. And we talked about this off mic, like, Shang-Chi. Like, I don't know shit about him either. Like, it's always nice to reinforce what I'm reading with the movies. Like, it's kind of nice to be like, oh, well, you know, maybe this, what I read in this first Shang-Chi run, like, we'll put more context into, like, the trainer or, like, you know, the dad gets a little more backstory or the mom does or some shit. And, like, it helps, like, ignite that flame to read more stuff. But when it comes to, like, actually reading, like, a run and, like, I don't really think about how it could all tie into the movies. But it's also nice to kind of see, like, because I read, like the Infinity War before and after the movie, like that story. And it's just like, you can see little bits of it, but then you see also how like the movies changed it for like cinematic purposes. And like, it's what I think is actually really cool too, is like how they're telling these stories without all the characters involved. Just because I know that, I haven't read all of it, but the Civil War actually has more people involved, like Mr. Fantastic and like, just a bunch of other characters in it. Same with the Infinity War. Like, it involves Thanos' brother, which we don't meet until like 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's all that stuff to see how you really put, and the stories make sense, you know, in the theaters. And then you kind of just see like, oh, this is actually where they got that, where this is from, and like little tidbits of information that help form the movies. Which kind of goes into like my next thing. Like, one of the ones that I want to read is that new Hawkeye one that's coming out, or the Hawkeye series that's already out comic book wise to help with the show.
The Matt Fraction run?
Yeah, let me clear that up. Just because my old roommate told me that was amazing. And
I agree. It's quite good.
Yeah, he also told me about that one comic where it's just like all through a dog's point of view, which is pretty wild.
Yes. So, that's part of, that's in the run.
Yeah, so he's like, just if you get a chance, read that. And I guess this can also segue into like my next latest venture with comic books, which is Marvel Unlimited. So I bit the bullet one day, man. And I was like, I was going on vacation and I wanted to read comics, because I did that on the plane ride home once. And I read through all of like the Secret Wars, and I was like, yeah, it'd be cool to read some comics on the plane. So I downloaded it, did my free trial, and it is so nice, dude. It, like, it's scary nice. Because, like, you know me, man. Like, we talked off mic that I love to collect shit. And this kind of, like, deletes that out of my life. Which, storage-wise in my house, great. Me and my soul, it's just like, ah, I wish I had a piece of it. But, yeah, it opens up a lot of doors for me to read a lot of stories. Which is, like, the best thing that I could ask for. You know, because I don't have to. It's not even like about spending money and stuff, but it's like I have to like really think about what I want to get from the store. When I can just be like, let me just try one of these. Let me try one of these. And Marvel Unlimited is doing a pretty good job because they have a good selection so far. So like if you wanted to jump into like a Spider-Man run, they have like a, you know, 2007 to 2018 run, for example. And like they'll give you all 200 to kind of walk through. And it does a really good job from like the general feel from scrolling. And this is a small UX thing that I really like about it, is once you get to the end of a story and you swipe like you're going to close the book, you get a modal pop-up that gives you the next story. So you don't have to like click out, go find it, jump in. You can just swipe into it and you can kind of keep going and you don't really have to stop.
That's cool. It's like a Netflix thing.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. And then also to it, like, it also recommends other stories as you keep going too. It's like, oh, you might like this, but this one's next, or try one of these. So it really opens up what I want a consumer can consume on like a 20-minute basis, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge, man. I have, you know, I did the whole, let me do this for a week and then cancel subscription, you know?
True.
But I never got to cancel, so. Which, also, if you listen to the first comic book episode, I'm going to finally start that Daredevil run. You know what I mean? Like, been talking about this for decades. You know what I'm saying? So I have it saved, and I'm going to consume it once I finish up this Cosmic Ghost Rider. So I'm like prepared for it, but like, I can't believe it's true. Can't believe it's happening. You know what I mean? So, but there's also something about like not having the actual comic in hand or the trade in hand that's kind of like what I do miss, but it's also like the convenience of the, like the tablet just like running through comics and shit. So it's a give and take, but so far not too bad. Not too bad. Okay, so let me ask you this, Mikey B.
Sure.
I know you're very into going and getting comics, hitting up that local library.
Correct.
Would you get one of these services?
No. Not because I don't think the services are bad. It's just like getting another, like, no, because I'm trying to reduce my screen time as much as I can.
Yeah.
Even though both of our jobs make it almost impossible to do that. So like I'm trying to reduce my screen time as much as I can. So if I have like even if it's just like 20, 30 minutes where I'm like reading a physical comic book trade or a single, it's like I'll take that versus, you know, the additional 20 or 40 minutes that would be on the screen.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I could dig that. Yeah,
that's legitimately my main reason, screen time. If there was like, yeah. I think the idea of like reading as many comic books as you can or like going back to a previous run that you didn't get to, you know, heard of is excellent. So it's like it gives you interest to buy comic books, but also like go back in old comic books too.
So I guess I was just thinking about this now. I guess going to the library and just checking stuff out is
my version of browsing.
Yeah, that's your app,
dude. When I go to a library, I just browse stacks and like, this is interesting and that. So no, it's pretty much, yeah.
I don't know what the dark hold is. Let me pick this one out. Let me pick this out. So nice, dude. I was just curious just because like you and I talked a little bit about like just the convenience of it. And I know you and I go get comics from time to time. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
sure.
What, you know, would this be something you would do? But yeah, like I said, there's also something about just doing that. Like the whole adventure of like finding something to read is also really cool too. And you know, you can't go wrong with just like recommendations. Cause like obviously the people that work there too, they're like, they're a bunch of nerds. But yeah, they'll give some really good recommendations. And I, you know, the guy when we went to the comic shop 2 trips ago did a really good job of recommending me some books that I wouldn't have picked up by myself. So Big ups to that guy. So,
yeah, shout out to Gem Comics and Elmhurst.
Yeah, shout out. We're going to put him in the tag and maybe he'll show up and show us some love.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so we could probably just wrap this up after our next little segment, which is what are you looking forward to / what do you want to read next?
Oh, that's a good one. That puts me on the spot.
Yeah. If you want to go first, I can go first because I got.
You can go first because I have it. I just want to. I have some thoughts, but I want to get all the names correct. So you could lead away, Josh.
So besides the obvious Daredevil run that I'm notoriously talking about all the time, I think my next chunk of story or the next one I want to read is they've got a Sinister War going on right now in Spider-Man. Which I want to take a look into that just because I love Spider-Man, dude. Spider-Man's so awesome to me. And, you know, having all these characters come back in a more current story versus like one that was done a while ago is something that really intrigues me. And I wonder what this is all about. So it's Sinister War. And then, what's it called? Shit. We just talked about, the Death of Doctor Strange. There you go. Those are the two that I really want to try to jump into. I know Death of Doctor Strange just kicked off, so there's not a lot of stories of that. So I'll probably give it a few months to kind of let itself breathe so I can get a couple stories. And I think Sinister War wraps up soon and the trade's going to be out. So there's those two. And then one random one that I've wanted to read before but kind of took a break from comics. It's called Mother of Madness. It's Amelia Clark's comic book run. I guess there's only three of them about this chick, and I like Game of Thrones, so let's see what she's writing about. So we'll see how that one goes.
I got mine because it's not a DC, it's not Marvel, it's Image.
Sure.
It's called New Bern. It's about Ethan Newburn is a private detective who solves crimes for crime families.
Nice.
So, like, yeah, he doesn't work for the police or anything. He's a detective that, you know, whatever mafia, crime family, you know, contracts him. He tries to solve crimes.
That sounds dope. Is that like a full collection or is it kind of ongoing right now?
That's ongoing. We're up to issue one just dropped in November, just a couple weeks ago. Issue two drops in December 15th. So we're just starting.
Nice.
So jump on board. So.
I could dig it. You got anything else, man? I think that I pretty much can wrap this up.
No, that was the one that I was trying to remember. I saw a little blurb of that at I think Polygon had an article about it. It's like, oh, that seems really cool. And that is my main one.
Right on.
Oh, wait. There's one more. It's a collection. That got me thinking because it's where Christmas time. We're thinking about putting things on lists. So we're trying to find things that the guy who wrote Mr. Miracle, I can't remember his name currently. He has like another kind of like offbeat superhero story called Strange Adventures. And I think the complete collection, Tom King, that's his name. Mm-hmm. Tom King, he's the author. He wrote Mr. Miracle. He has like another offbeat kind of comic book story for DC called Strange Adventures. And that complete collection drops, I believe, in December.
Nice.
So that's something I would want to read.
That'll probably, I'll wait till you read it and then be recommendations from it because I really enjoyed Mr. Miracle. So, right on. So, the comic book boys are out. See ya. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Gaming Console Podcast. Now, if you're not with us on the social game, you're really missing out. On Instagram, follow us at the Gaming Console Podcast. Facebook is the Gaming Console Podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're the Console Boys on Twitter, so hit us up, tweet us. Everything podcast-related episode-wise, go to gamingconsolepod.com.
The Console Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling life.
Console Boys are out.